Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 33. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 33.
Matthew, chapter 18, verse 33 reads this way. It says, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity we have to gather around your word. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. And we do pray for your guidance that we might hear from you and be drawn closer to you, and that you would strengthen us in the faith and grace that you've given to us, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might enjoy the salvation that you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, just a thought occurred to me today as I was getting things together here. You know, even in correction, this message is not a message of correction, but just simply to realize what we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm reminded of, you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? When the Lord had raised up again. And, you know, remember what they said when the Lord vanished out of their sight? Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened unto us the scriptures? Do you remember the Lord was correcting them, right? At one point he said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had said," when he was talking about the Messiah being crucified and raised again from the dead. But you know, I would dare say, and correct me if I'm wrong, that even though the Lord was upbraiding them for a portion of that meeting with and that encounter that they had, I don't think they would have changed a bit of it, because their hearts burned within them and God was giving them something to enjoy in their relationship with him. And they got excited and went and told the other disciples, didn't they, of what they had experienced. In fact, if you remember, they traveled about 5 or 6 miles to where they were going, and then they headed back to the disciples to tell them the message again. So as we consider this this evening, the Lord is wanting to explain to you and I, and his disciples here in this particular case, his heart for his disciples. Not only that, but also the heart that the Lord wants for us to have for one another as disciples in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants that to be encouraged, and to be, how would you say, the flames to be fanned, so that they grow brighter and brighter and brighter every day. As we draw closer to the Lord, God sets our hearts on fire for him. So tonight, just three quick thoughts, and that is the presence of God among his church. That's important. Secondly, the difference between the natural and the spiritual understanding. And there is a difference there, is there not? And so God wants us to understand the difference between the two. And then the Lord's expounded explanation of the spiritual realm of God's of God here, really, in a parable. And we'll see that here in just a moment. So let me back you up here to verse 20. And let's look at the presence of God among his church. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them," right? So that's the presence of the Lord right there, just like he's here tonight. He doesn't need a big congregation. He just needs two or three people gathered together in his name, and there he is in the midst. And so all this, the Lord does everything on purpose, and he puts everything in the order that he wants it in to help us in our frame of mind of where God is guiding and where God is directing. So that's just the first thought that we want to just be aware of, that he tells the disciples that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there is he in the midst. So let me ask you a question. Is it important to have two or three gathered together in the name of the Lord? And in that gathering, isn't it good for them to be in good relation and good harmony, right? In love for the Lord and love for one another. And so this is important. I think this is where God is guiding. And here's what we understand too, that the Lord knew everything that was going to take place. He knew where Peter was coming from, and he's helping Peter. Do you believe the Lord wanted to help Peter?
Yes.
Do you believe the Lord wants to help us? Absolutely, he wants to help us, and he wants us to give us more understanding and more wisdom in our relationship with him. So let's look at the difference between the natural and the spiritual understanding. So look at verse 21 here. And then right after the Lord says this, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them," then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now put that together. The Lord was just telling the disciples the importance of two or three being gathered together. And now Peter comes up with this idea. How many times, the Lord was just talking about how important togetherness is. And now Peter is saying, well, maybe there's a certain extent, there's a certain time where I'm not to forgive anymore. And so I don't know where Peter was coming from, but I do know where the Lord was coming from. No, in fact, I do know where Peter was coming from. He was coming from the natural understanding, and the Lord was coming from spiritual understanding. Does that make sense? So we have the tendency at sometimes to miss what the Lord is saying, but God is gracious enough to turn us around back into His direction, or we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? So the Lord is really, really quite patient, kind, and long-suffering to all of us, that we might understand where He wants us and how He wants us to follow Him. So the Lord was here dealing with Peter, and Peter was talking to the Lord, and I would just imagine that Peter thought that was being very generous, right? That he would forgive his fellow brother in the Lord seven times. And then the Lord answers like this, and this is the spiritual understanding. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So he wasn't saying you need to keep count till you hit 490 and then that's the end. That's not what he was saying. The idea was that you're to always forgive. If a brother has done something wrong, that you are to reconcile that relationship. And so the Lord was wanting Peter to understand where he was coming from. Peter, again, was coming, I think, from the natural understanding. And the Lord was coming from the spiritual understanding, because God has forgiven each and every one of us, hasn't He? He has. And that any one of us deserve the forgiveness of God. We didn't do anything that God would forgive us. So the Lord now is going to put this into perspective, right? As He expounds His explanation here concerning the spiritual realm of God and this parable that He's going to reveal to the disciples. And so the Lord begins to explain concerning what the kingdom of heaven is like. That's important, because that's where you and I are headed forever. Isn't that great? To be in the kingdom of heaven forever. So look at verse 23. Verse 23 says this: Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And what do we, when we say the day, the time of accounts here, is we would call that the day of reckoning, when all the accounts will be settled by God. And if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, we'd all be in trouble. Wouldn't we? We would have a great debt to pay, but because of the blood of Christ, our day of reckoning is going to stand by the righteousness of God. Not our righteousness, because ours wouldn't stand, but we will stand in the righteousness of the Lord. But He is wanting to explain some things here to the believer. So He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And He says, there's a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now, there's nothing wrong in a king taking account of his servants. That's what kings do, right? And so the Lord is going to take an account of his servants. Remember, He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So He's giving us this illustration of the kingdom of heaven. So He says this. He says, verse 24, and when He had begun to reckon, so He's taking this account of His servants, one was brought unto Him which owed Him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Keep that figure in mind. That's a lot. That was a big debt. Well, what was this extent? Well, what we find here is that he has insufficient funds. What does that mean when you have insufficient? You don't ever want to have insufficient funds. You're in trouble if you have insufficient funds, aren't you? And then there's a penalty, and then another penalty. It was a sad commentary, really. Many years ago, I worked at a carpet store, and there was a nice enough fella in there, and a young guy, maybe in his early 20s, and he was saying, oh my goodness, my check bounced. And back then, it was, I think, $35, I think it was, or $25, I can't recall it right now. But anyway, and then he was trying to straighten it all out at work there with the bank. And then all of a sudden, he gets a call from, I guess, wherever he wrote the check to, and they're slapping him with a fine. And he's going, I can't believe this. This was all new news to him. He had no idea. And he says, boy, and I just put in enough money, but they just took that money out of my account. So guess what? I still have insufficient funds. So it seems like he was getting nowhere fast, right? And so likewise, but when we stand before the Lord without the righteousness of God, we have nothing. And then if we were to pay our accounts, we would wind up, because of our sin, we would wind up in hell. So notice what he says here. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, he didn't have it, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And this was the right of the king. He was able to do that. And his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And so this was the right thing to do. And this put the particular servant in a very precarious, to say the least, position, wouldn't you say? And so here he is. He's lost everything. He's lost all of his worldly possessions. He's lost his children. He's lost his wife. And they're going to be sold out, you know, so that they can pay and make payment for what he owes. And rightly so. But for the believer, we have nothing really to pay. We would pay with our life, wouldn't we? Or the unbeliever, let me just say that. We would pay with our life. And so this is, I believe, the analogy that the Lord is trying to set across to the disciples and to Peter, since he was the one that came up with the idea, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times, Lord, that sound good to you? And the Lord said, no, this is not the right way to do it. So he's sold. And then notice verse 26 right here. And here's what it says. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshiped him. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? He fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And it probably would have taken his whole life to pay off this debt, what it sounds like here. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that something? That's mercy, isn't it?
Yes.
That's grace. Would you say there's some love there also? I would say love is involved. Why would anybody be moved to do something unless love was involved? Obviously, he had feelings and compassion for this servant. So now we find that this unprofitable servant right here, that's what the Lord called him at the beginning here, he's blind to all that his Lord had given to him. Remember the debt? It was 10,000 talents. That was a lot. That was going to cost him everything, all his worldly possessions and his family's freedom. So he was forgiven all of that. And then what happened here in verse 28 says this, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, which is like nothing. It's like pennies, right? So now, wait a minute. If I was just forgiven everything, I'm just saying, I don't think I'd have it in me to go look for somebody, anybody. In fact, I might even be of the disposition to say, to anybody who owed me anything, you owe me nothing. what do you think? If anybody owes me anything, you don't owe me a thing. I have my wife, I have my children, and my possessions. The Lord has given me back everything that should rightly have been taken away from me. And so he should have been thankful. So here's my question. What kind of a heart did this individual have to right after that go looking for somebody that owed him such a minuscule amount? Where was his heart at? And by the way, remember, he is talking to the disciples and he's answering Peter's question. And he's saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And all of those disciples, don't you think they would say, I'm that debtor? Don't you think the disciples could have said, I'm that unprofitable servant that owed such a big debt, I could have never paid it back. And yes, the Lord has forgiven me, and especially Peter. Not only has the Lord forgiven me, but he's placed me into his ministry. I mean, you would think he has even more to be forgiven, because then God put him into a position to be a faithful servant from an unfaithful follower. Remember, we studied there in Sunday school in Luke chapter 5. Peter said, depart from me, O Lord. for I'm a sinful man, because he didn't put out all the nets that the Lord asked him to, and he kind of gave him a little rebuttal there. So notice again here what happens here in verse 29. And his fellow servant that he went to fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Sound familiar? Those are his exact words. And notice what happens here. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Where was his mercy? What happened? And the Lord is saying, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so what do you think Peter and the other disciples are doing? They're probably taking a pretty hard swallow, wouldn't you say? They're probably going, "Ooh, you know, yeah, Lord, I missed where you were coming from. I saw myself with the seven times of forgiving somebody as a good thing, but I find that is quite insufficient, really. I should have more mercy and more grace towards the servants of the Lord." So here we find him in a very bad situation, and he's wanting everything to be paid back. And so he says, nope, verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, and so these are the other believers, they're looking at what's gone on here. He's been the recipient of all. The other servants no doubt knew that he had a great debt and the king had forgiven him, because it was a day of reckoning where everybody was giving an account. And maybe they thought, oh boy, you know, Frank over here, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. He's got a big debt. And then all of a sudden they thought, man, he's going to maybe lose it all. That was where he was headed. And the king forgave him everything. And news went about that. Wow, look what the king, what a great king we have to forgive Frank like that. Amen. Isn't that great? What a great king we have to forgive debtors like you and I that have no hope in our sins. We have no hope. And so they hear of it, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw it, what was done, again, a parable, but the Lord is wanting them to understand where it's all going. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. So remember, Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of heaven is like. And so remember, Peter said, Lord, seven times. And the Lord says, no, 70 times seven. And he says, you should always have this forgiveness. And don't you think Peter is just getting smaller and smaller all the time? And the Lord is not trying to hurt Peter, but he's wanting him to see what God had given to him, that he should be equally as a benefactor to those who are without and in that same position. So he said this in verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Look what the Lord says. Shouldest not thou also have had, listen, compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee. So here's the Lord, and Peter's hearing this, and how do you think Peter is putting this all together? Yeah, I missed it, didn't I, Lord? I missed it. Lord, you have forgiven me. What is our soul worth? What is our soul worth? Let's just think about it like this. What would you take in exchange for your eternal life? Not a thing. What could you give me that I would think that was a good trade for? And I don't know when we're going. Does anybody know when they leave this world? Maybe we make this transaction and I don't even get to take it and I drop dead. And so what if I had it for 5 years? Is it worth it? 10 years? 20 years of this to lose my soul? Forget it. Wouldn't it be better to be beggarly and poor without anything and then have eternal life? And so Peter's putting all this whole process, and so are the other disciples. And the Lord, I think this is a reminder of how we ought to appreciate and value what you and I have been given of the Lord in our salvation. Lord, what could we give you in return for the eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that you've given to us? There's nothing but here's what he asks us. Isn't it wonderful that we present ourselves servants to the Lord? Isn't that great? He says, not only have I redeemed you, but now I want you, fathom this, to honor me. Now you will glorify my name as we walk with the Lord. Do you realize every time we die to self, we're saying thank you to the Lord? You ever think about that? When we walk humbly before our God, we're saying thank you. When we are reminded to walk in the Spirit, and when we call upon the Lord to fill us with the Spirit, to walk in His grace, and when we walk in the kindness of the Lord, do you know what we're saying to the Lord? Thank you, God. We're saying thank you to Lord, I am undeserving. I am undeserving. I deserve to be condemned and to burn in hell forever. That's what I deserve. You have forgiven me. And so all I want to do to say thank you, Lord, I can never pay the Lord back. I could never pay him back. But I do want to say thank you, don't I? I do want to say thank you. So Lord, let me, Lord, live my life for you, for your glory now. You bought me. You. I'm yours. Amen? I'm yours. I'm not just yours because I want to go to heaven. I'm yours because you bought me. I belong to you. And so let me act, let me walk in this world by your grace and by your Spirit as one who you purchased and promised to work in me your will. I can't fulfill it, but you can. And so, Lord, I want to be mindful how often, every day, that I belong to you. And you know what I deserve? I deserve hell, but what have you given me? Eternal life. That makes it easier to turn the cheek, doesn't it? And that makes it easy to forgive because of how much have we been forgiven for? How much? How much? Everything, but we've been forgiven such a great debt. So verse 33, shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Remember what the Lord said, this is how the kingdom of heaven is like. We've been given pity from the Lord. We've been given his forgiveness. Last couple of verses here. And so the Lord reveals this great value. Verse 34, notice this. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. The Lord says, this is what's going to happen to this servant. Now, wait a minute. It gets a little heavier here. But every word here that God speaks is true, right? And this message is just for ourselves, between ourselves and the Lord, between you and the Lord, between me and the Lord. This is not for anybody else, but between you and the Lord, between me and the Lord. So listen to what the Lord says here. So likewise, just like this, shall my heavenly Father do also unto who? Unto us, unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not some, most of your brother's trespasses, or as it say, every one his brother's, right? His brother, their trespasses. Let me put that together again, verse 35. So likewise, Jesus saying, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. That's heavy, isn't it? That's what the Lord said. And what that ought to do is cause us to walk careful in this, not full of care, but careful that I might honor you, Lord. And but the best part is because we just want to say thank you, don't we? Thank you, God. There is a right kind of reverence and fear, but I think God wants us to move out of love, don't you? Lord, I just want to love you because you first loved me. And I just want you to be honored in my life as my way of saying thank you to you. That's all I want, Lord. That's all I want. And you know what I need? I need God to put that together in my head, or I'll get so busy with a lot of good things I've got to do and forget about this part. Can't we do that? We can. So Lord, remind me to number my days and to walk according to your word. Amen? So tonight, the Lord says, even as I had pity on thee, has he not had pity on us? May we walk according to the mercy, love, and grace of God. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your reminders that you give to us. Lord, we get so busy and so caught up in things. I'm so glad, Lord, that you never stop working in our lives and getting our attention, that we might be redirected by your mercy and love to draw nearer to you, because that's what your will is, Lord, that we would draw closer to you and you to us. And so we thank you for that. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.